I don't like introductions. I've said that a couple of times, but it is always such a delight to be with you. And we love this family, this home, this sense of God's work out of this part of the world. We speak of you often. I said to the leaders yesterday, I think it was, that we use you as an example in many parts of the world. Say, hey, you would do well to emulate Northlands on this matter, on this thing, and this administration of the grace of God. So you are an example to many that you're not even aware of. And we just honor the work of God here. Tyler said I would fix the prophetic edge that I do tend to come with, and I do think that all the apostolic carries a prophetic edge. Otherwise, it's not apostolic. You see, God wants to move his church forward, and he wants us to walk out this morning, out of this room with courage in our hearts. And if you have nothing else that's been accomplished this morning, I'm trusting God that you walk out with courage. And that because there's much that he wants to accomplish through you. So as God began to speak to me about you quite a while ago, I just began to write down. And I have a little more than usual, because I do think that this is interesting to me to speak to you, not as becoming an apostolic house, but being one. You know, I've always encouraged you over the years, as you are, this is what you're becoming. This is, and actually, as I stand here this morning, the Lord is saying, I'm affirming that this is the kind of house you are. Yeah. This is the kind of home that you are to the world. You are an apostolic household, a gift to the nations, broken open. This is what the Lord is doing with you as a church. I spoke about a shift last time I was here, a shift in the continents, a shift in the journey, and I felt again, some of you have got a little disorientated by the shifts that are going on, the demographic and national and political shifts that are happening, and I'm here to tell you this morning, all a work of God. God's at work, not politics, he's just at work. And the nations of the world are shaking and changing and adjusting for one purpose, his church, his gospel. And I want us to receive it this morning, not to say, oh, I'm so disoriented about what's going on and what's happening. And don't be concerned. Pray by all means. But take this as a moment from God that he is speaking to the world. He is releasing a new wave of gospel preaching and ministry also out of you. And so whatever questions you may say, you know, you feel like, no, I was going to say key a couple of Teslas. I don't know. You know, there are some strange things going on in the world. I mean, honestly, forget all that. Just say, God, you want to use me. More than ever, there's courage in our hearts for the work of God. So the shift is going on, and it's a God shift, I want you to know. There's stuff going on in the Spirit. There's an adjustment to strategy, but values remain. God is cheering you on. The values of this house remain, but strategy moves and changes. And that's part of what God is doing also in the series that has just ended out of this church about healthy homes. God is giving you more territory. He said this to you many, many times. More territory, more nations, more places that he wants to give you. This is a time that he wants to use you as seed. There is more seed in this house that needs to go into the ground. Seed in that territory that he gives you. You are a seed church, a church of the seed of heaven being deposited into you to go into the ground, not just to bless you. It's wonderful that we can be blessed. Hey, it's great. No, there's more than blessing you. There is seed for the nations. He's sending you. If you have a passport and you think, I must kind of got out of, get one again. Get ready. God wants to sow his seed out into the nations. He wants to release you into the nations of the world. There is seed coming out. No more fallow ground. It's like the Lord has spoken to you many, many years about plowing up the ground and opening up the land and plowing open things. The Lord says, hey, all that land that you plowed open, I'm not asking you to plant seed. I'm asking you to sow your lives in, to see God's kingdom come, church planting, gospel endeavors, missions out of the life of this church. I want to say to you, Northlands, that Norcross is not your Jerusalem. Georgia is. Georgia, Georgia. I got Georgia on my mind. Georgia is your Jerusalem. This whole state is a field for you. Not this little part of town, not just even Atlanta as a whole. No, the whole state, God's saying, that's your Jerusalem. I want you to saturate the region. I want you to plant and spread out as if this is your Jerusalem, not just a little part of the city out here in the north. There is much more for you. Many serious faith projects ahead. I want to say that to you again. There are many faith projects. We need to get ready. We need to ready our hearts. And part of the message this morning is also to stir up that faith in you. To whom much is given, much will be required. There is an incredible journey ahead for you as a church. He will give you orphan churches to call your own. I want to say that. Sites of Northlands, if you please. But there are churches around the city that will come and will gather to you and become you in different parts of a city. It's not that God's calling you to swallow up other churches, but you will. And they will become sites, they will become part of you, they'll become a journey because they're orphan, they have an orphan spirit, and there is in this house a fathering, a governmental, a leadership here that God will allow you to spread out throughout the city and into this state. There is more for you. Northlands Connect is a reality. There is more than you. There is more than sitting in this room. You are more than this. And God sees it already, and he's calling you to it. Multiple churches throughout the city and multiple churches throughout this region that may carry your identity, but they will all carry your heart. They will all carry your heart. In addition, some will come with property. Get ready. You will have more property. There are properties and things and churches and buildings around the city and around this region. God will give them to you. Get ready. Get ready. More. You're going to drive and say, I wonder what's going on there. God's going to give you stuff. He's going to give you buildings and people to plant churches in and restart things that were dead before. Get ready. There is much more for you. God will add or allow you to start. The word I had was like I said educational institution, but I felt like God's already said stuff about education, educating and training people. But I felt children. There are lots of children coming, lots of children coming into this house. I even felt that there are more parents walking the hallways of this church during the week. It's coming. There's stuff going on. Children are around. Things are happening. And there are more parents walking the hallways. This is going to be a busy place. God wants this place to sweat a bit more, have a bit more activity. There are more people coming here. I love the fact that you're clearing out, Tyler, all the bushes outside. They're all gone. Why? We've got to create space. Feels like we need elbow room for God to move. This is a key moment. Lots of children around, lots more parents coming through. To Tyler and Nicole, I want to say this. Don't chase too many cars. You know that proverbial dog that sits in the yard and every time a car drives by, the dog's after the car. And then another car and another car and another car. And the Lord says the new superpower of the 21st century is focus. Just God saying, don't chase too many things. God will speak to you. The safety of you as a family, I want to say this to you as a church, is that God speaks in this house. It makes us safe. We don't have to chase everything down. The season where God's blessing is chasing you down, you don't need to chase after it. And I'm saying that to you and to Nicole. God will chase after you. He'll surprise you with his blessing. You're going to see it. And you're going to think, whoa, I wonder where that came from. Just because God wants to be kind to you and surprise you with his blessing. That's the season you're in. You don't need to go after it. I wonder whether you should do that. Just God will just chase you down in this season. So, that's what I felt from the Lord. Hey, and that's a mouthful, but I think you can chew over it, think about it, pray it through. There is stuff that God has for you. And I'm so excited about what God is doing with you. And I suppose in a way, the message that I'm about to deliver to you from the Lord is really part of that courage to faith. You see, I believe this is a year, this is a moment, having gone through a series on healthy homes and the kind of church that you are, that now there is an explosion of faith out of this house. That's what I feel from the Lord. It's almost like the Lord is saying, now there's an explosion of faith and life coming out of this home. God is enlarging us and he is lifting our heads. If your head is down a bit, take Psalm 121 and be reminded today about what the Lord is saying. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. It's time to lift our heads. Your head may have been down. You think, oh, geez, I'm just working hard and doing my life. God's saying, lift your heads. Get courage in your hearts. Get faith again, because I want to give you new territory. I want to show you new things, but you can't have your head down on the ground all the time. The heart of this message today is faith, but I want to zero in on something that I think has been so abused in the church of Jesus Christ over the years, and that is confession. You see, this is a topic, kind of the name and claim it faith churches that kind of said everything that we can have, we just need to say it and we can have it. And the abuse of all of that over the years has caused many churches like ours to kind of back off and say, well, there's a real abuse. So we're gonna stay well away from that topic. And I think there's a balance in all those things. And God wants to restore that balance today. And the discovery that I want you to see is that belief has very little to do with you, but a whole lot more to do with who you put your trust in. And what we speak about is, where does our trust lie? Who do we put our trust in? It's not the size of your faith that is important, but it's the size of the one you put your faith in that is critical in this journey. And somehow we've made this about stuff and about things, and that is to diminish the call of God for faith for his people. But we must not lose the heart of the message that comes to us out of the scriptures about confession. And that gave rise to this message was really Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11. And the scripture says this, and they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they loved not their lives, excuse me, even unto death. The blood of the Lamb is belief, and the word of our testimony is confession. You see, and I want to talk about that confession today, not so much about the belief. I think you got that squared away as a church. See, when it comes down to confession, many choose to burn down their lives. The title of the message today is Burn It Down or Light It Up. I find too many people I meet choose to burn down their life rather than light it up with the word of God. James chapter 3 and verse 5 uses these words. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, straining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. Very, very strong words in the book of James. But principally it says this, you have a choice. You're going to burn it down or you're going to light it up. That's your choice. And there is something in our future from God that we need to learn and learn from him even today, that the walk of faith is about lighting up our life, not burning things down. powerful words from the scriptures. We're created to be creative like our Father, so our words can burn down our marriages, our businesses, our family, and our life as a whole. It really is your choice. I stand amongst people sometimes and I listen to them talk and I'm thinking to myself, I wouldn't want to be married to her either, the way you talk. Because you're burning down your marriage. You're setting it on fire and you're destroying it with the words that are coming out of your mouth. What kind of life do you want to live? Church, Northlands. What kind of future is this church wanting to live in? Because what comes out of our mouth, what we speak and create, seeing what God is doing, becomes the future, the pathway that we get to live in. What kind of marriage do you want? Well, watch the words that come out of your mouth. I live in a country where a lot of people had a lot of negative things to say about our nation. And so you stand with a group of people at a barbecue or anything, and you quickly hear the tone of the messages. Oh man, let's escape, you know, let's go somewhere else. Let's get a green card. Let's go to America. Let's go somewhere else other than this. And people talking and having conversations about something else. And I'm thinking, I lean in and say, well, I'm so glad I don't live, you know, in that country. They look at me. Strange. He said, what do you mean? You live here? I said, yeah, but I don't live in the country you're talking about. I don't live in that place. I mean, that's your place. And if I lived in that place, I wouldn't want my kids here either. But I don't live in that place. I live in another place. I live in a place where the word of God in me lights up my life. I want my children and my grandchildren to live in a space where God's presence and life floods out. Georgia, Georgia. I got Georgia on my mind. Hey, we there's a dream God has, and we you and I prophetically get to take that dream and not just, you know, trash talk stuff. But take the dream of God and put it and see it and put it in our mouths. And our children and our children's children get to live in that dream. Is that not where you want to live? That's where I want to live. John chapter 14 and verse 13. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. His words in my mouth can be a force of change. His words in your mouth. This is what Jeremiah says in chapter 1 and verse 9. It says, then the Lord put his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. I want this church to be a church that carries the message of healthy homes and life of God out into the world because you put his words in your mouth. Changes things. Changes life, changes family. Backed up by the New Testament in Romans chapter 10 and verse 8. What does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim, because if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. What is in your mouth? What language is coming out of us as God's people? I say this all over the world, and I'm repeating it again here, that any church can come into what we would call revival or life simply by one idea. Simple idea is this, that God's people would change the way they talk. Suddenly, fire. The fire life of life, things light up. Social media and things and all over the place. The world begins to light up around us because we've changed the way we talk. Yeah, that's right. And suddenly, you know, we can't yeah, second service and third service and stuff and seats are filled. Why? Because people saying, God's doing something. How do we know it? You. Taking his words, his dream, his prophetic words, and putting it in your mouth. The confession of what God is doing is critical. John Maxwell says this: nobody can motivate himself in a positive direction by continually using negative words. I don't know how we think we can do that. The way we speak about our lives, our families, and our children, light it up or burn it down. I think sometimes when people are trash-talking their marriage or their family or even a kid, just be reminded of this one message, this one line today. Light it up or burn it down. The word of our testimony, the stories of our lives, they're supposed to create the future that we want to live in. And that's my first point, and I've only got three quick points to fire at you. But what you see, you speak, and what you speak, you get to live in. Many of us live substandard lives simply because we have not learned to take God's word and God's idea about our lives and God's identity and put it into our mouths and see the light of his word create a future and a pathway for us to live in. People come and say, I have an inferior marriage, please help me. And 9 out of 10 times, the first thing we need to help with is fix what you say. Wow. Yeah. Fix how you communicate about your marriage. Fix what you're saying to each other. I'm married to the most beautiful girl in the whole world. And I don't care whether you believe me or not, because I know it to be true. What are you living with? What future are you walking in? 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. We speak substandard lives into being because we can't see what's eternal. Our eyes have been shut off to seeing the eternal consequences and the eternal life that is working out in front of us. We just see naturally. I don't like what I see naturally. Pete, do you even know what's going on? Why would you give a word like this? Do you know? I said, it actually, friends, what's going on is one thing. What we see is something completely different. Because there's faith in us. And we get to speak what we see, and we get to live in what we speak. So if we have lost our sight, you can see that's a problem. We get to create a future that we want to live in. Our needs and our desires end up speaking too loudly over our lives. I speak over my granddaughters as Greg does over his. My granddaughters and grandson, or sons now, I have two of them. And I tell my granddaughters that they're the most beautiful girls in the world. And I don't care what anybody thinks about it, but I want them to grow up with a grandfather that unconditionally thinks they are the best. I will spoil them, and I'll let their parents correct the consequences. That's right. It's what we are. See, there's a grandparenting spirit. There's a thing, how we ought to speak over our lives. I lie with a restless grandson. My grandson, when he goes to bed, his name is Koa. When he goes to bed, he's very restless. He doesn't want to sleep. And it's too, you know, having grand and grandpa around is just too exciting. So he doesn't really want to sleep. So I put him in bed, and I'm lying with him. And I've got a trick up my sleeve. And the trick is I begin to pray. I said, Koa, we're praying. So he knows. So he, praying. And I pray long breath. long prayers. Let's go on. Oh, thank you for the blessing of God on this man, young boy. Thank you, Lord, for a future. I think I'll go on and on and on. And you know, after a minute or two or three or five, I look over. He's gone. Well, he's cottoning on a little bit now. He's catching on to my strategy. And the other night I'm lying with him, I'm praying along. He says, hey, Grandpa, amen. Amen. I said, no, Ko, I'm not finished. Because I want to pray into his future. I want to pray the plan of God over his life. I want to pray the right wife into his future. I want to pray the right circumstance. I want to pray the right job into his life. I pray. Amen, Grandpa. No, I'm not finished. Because there's a future our children and our grandchildren get to live in. And I want to shape it with what I see and what I speak over their lives. You know what psychologists tell us, and these are not Christians, not believers, they tell us that all anxiety are lies. Wow. When I heard that for the first time, I thought to myself, all? They said all. These are unbelievers. All anxiety are lies. In other words, the things that our psyche and our struggle and our battle speak to us that cause us anxiety are lies. Isn't it amazing that God speaks his word over us in such a way that the truth deals with some of the lies that anxiety produces? Leading neuroscientists say that by our thinking and choosing, we are redesigning the landscape of our brain. In other words, some of you got so into the track of thinking about your life and your future and your marriage. You know, it's like a, you know, she only sleeps with me on my birthday problem. And I had that. I had a leader come and say, well, I can't be part of your team because my wife only sleeps with me on my birthday. What kind of a life are we creating? There's a better way to do marriage, a better way to do life, a better way to do children and homes, and you've been preaching on it for 5 weeks. And I'm here to put an exclamation mark behind it from the Lord, that we would talk differently, live differently than that, and create different landscape of our mind, create different thought patterns that change the way we speak. Proverbs 23:7 says, for as he thinks in his heart, talking about man, so is he. In other words, our thoughts begin to create who we actually are, how we actually live on this planet. Our thinking begins to shape that story. In fact, the brain begins to rewire itself if we begin to allow the Word of God to become the filter through which we live our lives. The very matter up here, the gray stuff, they call it, what do they call it again? Neuroplasticity. That's a fairly recent discovery. That you're not locked into your DNA. You're not locked into, oh, well, I'm like this. My parents are like this. And we're always like this. No. 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 If we allow the Word of God begins to reshape the way our neurons are firing up in our head, create brand new pathways through which our thoughts run. You can rewire how you think about your family, your wife, your life, your business. Oh, I hate my job. Oh, yeah. And you're going to keep hating it. So, oh, give me a new job. And then you're going to get a new job and you're going to hate that too. Because the problem isn't the job. The problem is what we see and what comes out of our mouth. Something changes. God is putting an exclamation mark behind some things. And he writes, a clinical psychologist writes, many of us who came from less than loving, attuned, and safe childhood households, the neural pathways we may have developed may include deeply ingrained patterns of negative self-talk, self-doubt, future doubt, and world doubt. The gospel comes to break that. Yeah. Self-doubt, world doubt. negative talk out of us that destroys our futures. It's time to change that. The ability of the brain to reconstruct a future, reconstruct even in the painful moments of our lives that have so imprinted themselves on us, there is a possibility of healing and life from the Holy Spirit to reconstruct some of those pathways. Did you know that human beings are the only people capable of creating such a future with their thought life that they don't want to live in it? It's not reality. It's not actually their life. But they have so darkened the future of their thoughts about their own life that they want to stop and cease living in that future. I want to say to you, maybe you're sitting with quite a dark cloud over your head even today. I want to say to you from God today, to you, that God wants to rework the pathways of your thought. He wants His word to influence and speak again. So you're not the negative, destructive to your own life person that you may have become. God is releasing you and reshaping the thoughts of your life. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. There are thoughts that have lifted themselves up as gods in your lives. They are holding sway over your thought life. And God is saying, I want to take them down. I want the things you see with your eyes, prophetically over your life, over your family, over your children, over your future, over this nation, Georgia, over this state, to be different. Primary reason, I'm busy doing a project to deal with the issue of poverty, of which we have a lot in our nation. And the Lord, because the Lord spoke to me about poverty. See, the problem with poverty is not resources. We think, let's just get resources to poor people. Resources to poor people just destroy their confidence, take away their legs from under them. The problem with poverty is that it closes our eyes to tomorrow. We can only see today. We can only see now, this moment. My needs today is all I can see. And the problem with seeing only my needs today and shut off to tomorrow, it locks me into the destructive pattern of today. God says, when we come to Christ, it opens the window on tomorrow. You have a future and a hope. It opens something up. You see, because we can't see it, they can't talk about it, and therefore they can't have it. Can't see tomorrow, so they can't talk about tomorrow, and they can't have tomorrow. Something needs to shift in us. And our tongue is critical. Second thought, and these come quicker, the next two. We have to create space for God to speak. The problem for many is that they have no stories. They have no stories of God's interaction. They have no stories of walking with God. The stories they have are pseudo stories of other people and other stories. And I heard Greg said, Tyler had a great story. Let me read. God wants to give you stories. Because we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. His stories, His words in our mouth is how we overcome. And He wants to give you stories. As a young man, I learned to hear God's voice. I would come home late at night, as is a usual pattern for young men, I suppose. And I had a little cottage down the bottom of the garden, and I would come home 11:30, 12:30 at night, And before I went into my car, if it was a clear night, I would go out and lie on that piece of lawn out there. And I would just lie on my back and look up at the stars and look up at the sky. And I would moan to God lying out there about things. I would tell Him, you know, the guys that are flocking around this girl that I wanted to date. There were just too many guys, you know, looking. And I said, get them out the way. I don't know what's going on. And I would moan to God lying there. I was talking about my life and my pain and my struggles. But I learned to hear His voice. I learned to distinguish my thoughts from his thoughts. Here in my own head, lying on my back on lawn. There is no substitute for lawn time. Whatever your lawn may be, it may be a sitting chair in your lounge. Just that's your place. Go hang out a bit. There's no shortcut to hanging out with him and hearing and distinguishing and learning how to hear his voice, because the stories of heaven come out of hearing his voice. I shared a story, and I think sometimes, you know, and I've shared all my stories with you, so they're all going to be repeats, I'm sure. I have a few new ones. I was in Seoul, South Korea. I said to the leaders the other day, and I'm sitting in my Airbnb, 5,000 leaders, and I'm thinking, why am I here? The Lord sent me, said, I want you to go. And then he makes a supernatural way for me to get there, and someone pays for my ticket. So I've got to go. So now I'm sitting in some Airbnb. We just had the opening night, and it was spectacular, and I'm moved, and it's wonderful, and I get back to my Airbnb and say, I said, that was wonderful, Lord, but why am I here? The Lord says to me, there's a certain guy that I want you to meet. One of the reasons why you're here. And I think, okay. I mean, I know him. I've had an email correspondence with him, but I want to connect you with him. So I think, well, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to meet this guy. There's 5,000 leaders out there. It's a morass of people. How am I ever going to see him? I don't have his number. I don't have his contact. And Lord says, leave that to me. So I walk over the next morning after having had this conversation with the Lord. And I walk over to the venue, and I'm looking for coffee, as I always am. And so I find a decent coffee place, I buy coffee, and I go outside the venue, and I'm sitting on a stone wall outside the venue. We haven't started yet. This man walks straight out the door with a coffee in his hand and sits right next to me. And I said, hey, you know, we've been talking. He says, yeah. And we have a conversation. For the next 3 consecutive days, God supernaturally puts me together with this man. Supernaturally, in a sea of people. We sit across from us, each other at dinner. The next day, the day after that, I'm sitting somewhere else in the venue, somewhere else in the building, and he just happens to, there we are, together again, 3 days in a row. Yeah. Don't you want stories? Yeah. Don't you want God to encounter you, speak to you? Even in the difficult moments when things are not so easy, because the stories of heaven are our testimony that allows us to overcome. We are living in a home now. I think I said to you, we just moved in last time we got here. And we just feel incredibly blessed, Karen and I. It's hard to describe. We built an enormous building and a very, very large church, massive church building. We saw some unbelievable miracles in that building. But then we build our own house 20-odd years later. And I can tell you, God outdid himself. We just saw miracle after miracle again and again and again. You need some lawn time. Because the stories of heaven that he wants to encounter you with, the things he wants out of your mouth, the journey of the testimony of your life is the stories of his encounter with you. Don't live on secondhand stories. So faith, it says in Romans 11, 17, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of God. That word is the word rhema. It's the revealed word of God. In other words, it's not just the scriptures we're reading. It's the things God speaks to us. So as we walk with him and he says difficult things to you. I remember the difficult thing was when we sold our house, the only house we had and the only money, the only asset we owned in the world. And the Lord says, I want you to give, we sold our house for a lot of money. And the Lord says, I want you to give all the money away. All of it. It was a lot. And you can even imagine me coming and saying to Corin, this is what I feel. It's not an easy, the Lord speaks to both of us to give all the money away. And here, fast forward 11 years, and we're sitting on the veranda of our house, and I don't have a mortgage. God gives, I don't have a mortgage. So God just, now, There's 10, 11 years between those two events. But faith, a rhema, a word from God, gives life when it comes out of your mouth. Yeah. Creates a future. It does something. Let's live as men and women, faith. Yeah. I have one more thought for you. Final thought. Is that the words that come out of our mouth need to speak to the lost. Not just create a future for us, light it up or burn it down. Not just kind of words that create space for God to speak. Not just that, but also that we get to speak testimonies of God's life to the lost. At a garage, came home, just we're towards the end, last, just before we arrived here, at a garage full of workers because it's raining a little bit and they were busy painting. And so they're all sitting on inverted paint cans all around the garage. The house is not finished. We haven't moved in. And they're all sitting, there's about 15 of them all sitting in my garage. And I arrive in and I'm thinking to myself, I have an audience. I don't know whether you ever think that. I have a captive audience. They are paid by me. They can't paint, so I must tell them how great God is. And so I start the journey. I said, hey, I want you to know that you're sitting in a miracle house. Yeah. They all look at me and say, what do you mean? I said, I tell a few stories. I can see the presence of God in my garage. Just because the word of our testimony brings life to people. Yeah. I was telling Greg, this chain-smoking, long-haired, hippie-type guy that did our paving. His name is Jamie Wynn. Now, Jamie, I don't think has ever encountered a Christian. I just don't get the sense that he has. So he encounters me. And I'm thinking, well, I need to tell him some stories. Hey, Jamie is fascinated by God's work. Yeah. He says, he doesn't even know. He says, Peter, I've never heard anything like that, he says. My builder. He's not a believer. He's so fascinated by God's work that he decides, I'm going to church. Wow. He says, I'm taking my wife. He gets his kid dedicated in a church up in the area that he lives in. Wow. I'm thinking, geez, Lord, the word of our testimony, the stories of God in our mouth that make him great. Not about making you great. It's about seeing the glory of God displayed through our testimonies. Final story, because it did work against me. I'm sitting with a banker to borrow money. I think I've told you the story. I'm sitting with this girl and I've said, look, before we talk about the loan that I need, and I desperately needed a loan, I was out of money. I said, before we talk about the loan that I need to tell you some stories about God. How God has supplied has been unbelievable. And so I start the process of the stories, and her name is Happy Shlongwe. Now, Happy Shlongwe stretches her hand out across the table and grabs my arm when I say, listen, let's just talk about the loan. She says, Pastor, she says, you're not going to need a loan from me. God will supply. So I walk out. And Karen calls me. I said, how did it go? I said, bad. I got nothing, not even the promise of a loan, nothing. I haven't even got an application in, nothing. Fast forward about 5 or 6 days, and God does exactly what she prophesied. Supplies supernaturally, and we get to pay our builders, do the end of the project. Don't you want some stories? Let's hear your story. Because there's no doubt, remember that old song? The old Hillsong song from the 1999. I said to Tyler, I said, you don't know the song? She said, I don't know. I was 10 years old in 99. I said, I forget. She's, you know, this beautiful old song. Your light broke through the night, restored exceeding joy. Remember it? Some of you. Oh, yeah, cast your minds back. Your grace fell like the rain. And made this desert live, for you have turned my mourning into dancing. You have turned my sorrow into joy. Remember that? And then that your hand lifted me up. I stand on high ground. Your praise rose in my heart and made this valley sing. For you've turned my mourning into dancing. This is how we overcome. This is how. Your view of the world matters. What you put, what you see prophetically as a church, as a family, as a father, a mother, a grandfather, grandmother, what you see and put in your mouth matters. Because we're living in a space that God wants to transform, and He wants to use us to do it. He's about something. I don't know whether you can feel that. There are continental, you know, shifts in the spirit. God is stirring stuff. We're part of that future. But if you see nothing, you have nothing to say. If you hear nothing, you have no stories to communicate. It's time, friends. I want to hear your stories. I want to hear what God is doing. I want people in your space to begin to hear of the testimonies of God's glory and life through your life. Oh, I heard on Sunday this. No, I walked this. This is what God did. This is what He said to me. And watch what God will do with us. This is how we overcome. This is how. And because we've got so put off by the faith boys confessing everything that was just all about them, we think, oh, we got to stay well away from that. But I'm here to tell you, you get to light it up or burn it down. The choice is entirely yours. What kind of future, what kind of state, what kind of nation do we want to live in? Let's be the people of God. Let us be a church that builds community, family, business, churches that represent that call and that purpose. Can I pray? Ah, Lord, stand up. Come, we've sat down too long. It's time for you to join me. I don't know, if you've come into this meeting today and you don't feel some sense of courage, maybe you haven't been in this meeting. I'm just saying. I think God is stirring us up as His people. He says, come. It's time, my boy. It's time, my daughter. Come on. I want to encounter you. I want to speak to you. I want to give you stories that change the fabric and the circumstances of your life. I love, you know, I meet Tali. She says, holy Jesus, you won't believe what happened last Sunday. Somebody comes and commits their life to Christ the first time in church. I'm thinking, story. This is how we overcome. Don't you want some of them? Yeah. Some of you have captive audiences, people that you pay. They need to hear a story of God's greatness out of your mouth. They need to know that the creative power of us Christians change circumstances and environments simply because God speaks. So, Father, I pray. The scripture says that we are to renew our minds by the washing of the word. I haven't read that scripture this morning, but it is such a well-known pattern for us. I pray for a washing today. Spirit of the living God, wash through our minds. That the neural pathways of our minds that the very smart scientist people say can be changed. But we knew that already. Because the word of God can transform our minds. And they're just confirming what we already know. Now begin to allow the filters of our lives, the minds through which we live our lives, begin to allow those filters to be transformed, the neural pathways to match and create pathways where God's life begins to be expressed through us. That His words, we see something, we speak something, and we get to live in a different future. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you, Northlands.